Know me. I am on the staff here, one of the pastors, having fun. And Mother's Day is such an important day to celebrate moms. And as I'm sitting up here, and this morning, as I was just thinking about this morning, I'm also very aware that Mother's Day brings pain to so many people too. That Mother's Day can be a very challenging day. Some of you are in this place going, yoo-hoo, that's great that there's all these folks, but it's not my favorite day, and maybe for a variety of reasons. And a woman in our church sent me a little, it's like a prayer of remembrance and helping us be mindful of those in our audience this morning that maybe carry a heavy heart, and included this. And I thought I would just read this acknowledgement as we begin this morning. So to those of you who gave birth this year to your first child, we celebrate you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experienced loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or your child running away, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes, prods, tears, and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make this harder than it is. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. And to those who have disappointment, heartache, and are estranged from your children, we sit with you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience. To those who have aborted children, we remember them and you on this day. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way that you longed for it to be. To those who step parent, we walk with you on these complex paths. To those who envisioned lavishing love on grandchildren, yet that dream is not to be, we grieve with you. To those who have placed children up for adoption, we commend you for your selflessness and remember how you hold that child in your own heart. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate with you. This Mother's Day, we walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart. And we have real warriors in our midst. We thank God and we pray that the grace of Jesus touch each of you this Mother's Day. Isn't that good? I did not write that. Just it was sent to me and I just thought it was so good. I wanted to share that with you. And so let me pray before we launch into the message. Father, prepare our hearts now for this word out of Colossians chapter 4. I pray that these words, the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. I pray that each of our hearts would be responsive, tender, open, willing to hear from you and then to walk out of here and to live differently, to walk in your ways. And so we pray this in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. I have a group of pastors that I meet with each year up in Oregon. 8 guys, and we share our hearts together. But one of the things that's fun is during the year, we're swapping, what are you doing for Mother's Day? What are you doing for Easter? We're always sharing ideas and that sort of thing. And so this story was being interchanged through these pastors this week, as you know, and they said, "Hey, if you haven't read this story to your church, make sure you read it this Mother's Day." So let me just start with this story that I received this week from a close pastor friend. Bob was in trouble. He forgot to honor his wife on Mother's Day after she had devoted the last 20 years of her life to raising their three children. And his wife was deeply hurt and really ticked off. And so she told him, "Tomorrow morning I expect to find a gift in the driveway that goes from 0 to 200 in 6 seconds. And it better be there." And so the next morning, Bob got up early and he left for work. When his wife woke up, she looked out the window, and sure enough, there was a box gift-wrapped in the middle of the driveway. A bit confused, the wife put on her robe. Now, why would she be confused? But that's just a little sidebar. But a bit confused, the wife put on her robe, ran out to the driveway, brought the box back into the house. She opened it, and she found a brand new bathroom scale. Bob has been missing since Friday. Now, gentlemen, that was good, wasn't it? That was good. Now, some of you, it hasn't sunk in. Some of you is like, okay, so I have a little cartoon for you. I'm hoping to reinforce to the dads today. A little Happy Mother's Day cartoon. Hopefully you can see this. Let that sink in. Let's close in prayer because the guy's sermon this morning is over. What I'm going to preach on this morning, man, you just deal with what I just, the joke I told and the cartoon that's up here. If you get those things right, you will have received a message from the Lord this morning. For the rest of us, I invite you to turn over the program. We have the scripture this morning. If you brought your Bible, I invite you to open it. We want to encourage you to bring your Bibles. If you don't have one, we'd be happy to give you one. We have been in the book of Colossians since January, and we are winding it down. We will finish it up by the end of this month, I promise, but it's been so rich, so good. And this morning we are going to look at Paul's words to this church. And he says this, I'm just going to read for us this morning, beginning in verse 2. "Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us, too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Live wisely. Live wisely among those who are not believers. And make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone." And then skipping down, verse 12, "Epaphras, a member of your own fellowship and a servant of Christ Jesus, he sends you his greetings. He always prays earnestly for you, asking God to make you strong and perfect, fully confident that you are following the whole will of God. I can assure you that he prays hard for you." I can assure you that he prays hard for you and also for the believers in Laodicea and Areopolis. And so what's the meaning of this text this morning? I just have two simple reflections. One is prayer, And one is making the most of every opportunity. Those are the two ideas, big ideas this morning that I just briefly want to look at. Devote yourselves to prayer. And maybe this morning it is Mother's Day. Moms, this is specifically for you. Of course, this text, this letter is written for everyone. So if you're not a mom, this still applies to you. But maybe moms today, you could receive this as kind of your marching orders. Your marching orders as a mom. That Paul is giving us some really specific ways to live out our faith. So often, I think people and moms find themselves in a place spiritually where your spiritual life kind of just becomes like this. Just kind of going through the motions, just kind of bored, right? Just kind of like, yeah, you know what? I'm a Christian and I go to church and I'm a mom and I'm in PTA and it's... Your faith is kind of one part of many things of your life. And this morning, this passage of Scripture, I think, exhorts you as a mother, exhorts me, exhorts all of us to allow Christ to not make him just a part of your life, but the center, the heartbeat of your life. And it begins with prayer. Paul says, devote yourself to prayer. That word devoted, actually, in that word, it means to be persistent, to make it continual. Prayer is not just something I say a little prayer in the morning, you know, over breakfast. I say a little grace, and then I'm off on my day, and I do whatever I want, and I treat people the way I want. No. Prayer is ongoing. It's persistent. And I want to say, I think it's the greatest gift that you could give yourself as a mother, is the gift of an intimate, close relationship with Christ. That's what prayer is. Prayer isn't going through the motions. Prayer is intimacy. It's a conversation. It's a give and take. It's listening to God. And it's talking to God. And it's not about getting something from God. God, do this for me. God is not just kind of Santa Claus. I think sometimes that's how we treat God. But what Paul is saying is, I want you to devote yourselves to him and to praying and connecting deeply with him. Now, we learn a lot about prayer in the Psalms, back in the Old Testament. They're the part of the wisdom literature, part of the hymns of the church. In fact, Kurt Peterson, who's here today, and I've already introduced him many times because he's been here, but the family's here. But Kurt's really the one who helped unpack the Psalms for me in my life. When you were in that season of your life reading five Psalms a day, and Eugene Peterson was mentoring you in that, and then that was just dripping out on me. And what a gift you could give yourselves, moms, to allow the Psalms to be part of the richness of your journey with God. Because the Psalms give us language that sometimes we're like, I don't really know how to pray. I'm not sure what to say. And I love what we read in Psalm, where would we have it here? Psalm 62, verse 8. The psalmist encourages this relationship with the living God. He says this, trust in God at all times, you people. And then listen to this next phrase. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Pour out your hearts to him. I have a question for you this morning. What is in your heart? If you were to pour out your heart, what's he saying? He's saying, be real with God. Be genuine. Be authentic. Don't hold anything back. What is in your heart? Is it anger? Is it jealousy? Is it loneliness? Is it love? What is it that's in your heart? Pour it out to God. Have a conversation that's ongoing with God. Allow the Lord God to become that intimate, close, best friend in your life. That's what devoting yourself to prayer means. He goes on to use the word alert. Do you see that? Alert. What does that mean? It means to be awake spiritually. Sometimes we kind of drift and fall asleep because we're bored spiritually. What Paul's saying is stay awake spiritually. Be alert. Not careless, not mechanical, not doing your little, you know, blessing, or let's say grace before dinner. God's neat, let's eat. Okay, amen. Here we go. That's mechanical, that's careless, that's flippant. What Paul is saying is, no, I want an authenticity there. I want you to be alert. I want you to be awake. I want you to be connected spiritually to Jesus. And then he uses the word thankful. My goodness, how many times does Paul use this word in this letter? It's this recurring theme in the book of Colossians about being thankful. And thankfulness, I've said it, I feel like every week. It's a game changer. It's a game changer. And some of you have read this book. It's called 1,000 Gifts. I've referred to it before. June and Russ Michelson gave me this book, and I gave this book to my wife. And I know that some of you, there are some people in this church that have read it like 3 or 4 times. So, dads, if you didn't get the cartoon or the joke, I'm going to give you one more chance. Go buy your wife this book as a Mother's Day present. Order it. It can be late. It's called 1,000 Gifts by Ann Voskamp. But let me just read a quick quote in here about gratitude that she writes on page 15. From all of our beginnings, we keep reliving the garden story. Satan, he wanted more, more power, more glory. Ultimately, in his essence, Satan is an ingrate. And he sinks his venom into the heart of Eden. Satan's sin becomes the first sin of all humanity, the sin of ingratitude. Adam and Eve are simply, painfully ungrateful for what God gave. And isn't that the catalyst of all of our sin? Isn't that good? Don't be an ingrate. Paul says, be thankful as you pray. Allow your prayers to be rooted in a spirit of gratitude. And let me just highlight, we're giving out a book to moms today. It's called Praying Circles Around Your Children. And I don't know if you got one as you walked in, but if you didn't, make sure you grab one before you go out, leave today. Mark Batterson. This is actually a portion of his New York Times best-selling book called The Circle Maker. He's written this book called Praying Circles Around Your Children. It's really great. It just gives some wonderful ideas and direction for those of us that are going, well, I'm not really sure how to pray and how to pray for my kids, and I'm a novice at that. Grab this book. This will really help you develop a deeper prayer life with God. And then, of course, those of you that are ready for the graduate school of prayer, the Magna Carta of prayer books is Richard Foster's book called Prayer. Some of you read it. It's a gold book. I want to just say, if you're not familiar with it, if you've never read it, grab that book, order it. It is so good, but it takes you to a new place, a fresh place. Again, guiding you into how to have a richer prayer life. And when we talk about prayer life, it's really about how to experience God in such a fresh and intimate way, how to walk with God in ways that are life-giving. We're not talking about duty, obligation, I got to pray. That's not what Paul's talking about. He's talking about, I want you to enjoy a relationship with the living God. I want this to be a delight and a joy, something that makes you come alive, something that you long for. And why? Because when you begin to experience God, you realize God wants more for you than he wants what? From you. And we keep saying that, but I want to remind you, God wants more for you than he wants from you. We kind of are like, God just wants my wallet. God just wants this. No. God wants so much for you. And it all begins by crying out to him, by pouring your heart out to him, by beginning to walk with him and trust him. And that's really what Paul's getting at this morning. He talks about then expanding that circle of prayer, and not just that intimacy with God and nurturing that, but then he says, pray for me and pray for the message of the kingdom. Pray that the gospel would be advanced. And I think for us, it's a great reminder. Simply, we would ask you, pray for those of us that speak, that teach. Pray for our O Kids leaders who are teaching our children the good news. Pray for our moms and mentors that meets every other week, and they have speakers come in. Pray for June Michelson, who leads a community Bible. I mean, you could go on and on. Your small group leaders. There's so many different ways that you can be praying for those who are out there communicating the good news of God's love. And that's really what Paul's getting at there. And so then let me jump to the second reflection. It says, make the most of every opportunity, verse 5 and 6. Paul's making two appeals, two. What's he saying? He's saying, I want to encourage you how to live and how to speak. How to live and how to speak with And the word he uses is outsiders, those who aren't part of the family of faith, those who are walking and living their lives at a distance, keeping God at a distance. He's saying, I want to speak into your life right now. And I want to encourage you, and I want to teach you, how should you live and how should you speak to those who are not believers? And what is the language that he uses? Live wisely. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be seasoned with salt, meaning it may it be gracious, may it be warm, winsome, attractive. Might you make others feel valued and important. Wouldn't that be amazing if people in the church made others outside the church feel valued and important rather than small and insignificant and judged and not good enough? That phrase, make the most of every opportunity, sometimes it's translated redeeming time. It has to do with that Greek word kairos. Kairos time means strategic moments. Make the most of every opportunity. What does that mean? It means that God's at work getting somebody out there ready. So he needs you and me to be ready because he's making people out there ready to receive his love. And so he says, make the most of every opportunity. It's kairos time. There's a strategic moment in your day today, in your afternoon today. You don't know it yet, but are you ready? Are you ready? Is your spiritual antenna up? That there's going to be a person that God's going to intersect your life with their life. And God wants you to be kind to them, to love them, to serve them, maybe to speak a word of encouragement to them, to share good news with them. God wants you to be ready for those that he is making ready. Does that make sense? Are you with me on that? Those of you that are bored spiritually, just take this in and start living this out. And I guarantee you, your life will become an adventure. Your life will become a life that's absolutely turned upside down. Do you know the number one hindrance to an outsider, a non-believer, from finding and following Christ? Think about it for a moment. If you were to interview people that don't go to church, that aren't following Jesus, that aren't believers, what's the number one thing that is keeping people from finding and following Jesus Christ? You know what the research says? It's Christians. It's us. It's us. Not, I mean, it is. I chuckle too, and I cry inside. It makes me cringe. Does it make you cringe? Breaks my heart. Listen to this quote from the book Unchristian. What a new generation really thinks about Christianity. And here's the quote. What are Christians known for? Well, outsiders think of our moralizing, our condemnation, and our attempts to draw boundaries around everything. And even if these standards are accurate and biblical, they seem to be all that we have to offer. And our lives, well, they're a poor advertisement for these standards. The truth is, we have invited the hypocrite image. Arrogance and conceit slip in like drafts of cold air in the winter. We don't see it, but outsiders can sense it. Is that true? Maybe some of you this morning are on the outside looking in. And you're going, get off the stage. I'll preach that right now. Because that's been your experience. So what are we to do about this ouch? This reality? You know, I think it was Max Dupree who said, the number one job of a leader is to define reality. And that's what we're doing right now. We're defining reality. We're saying as a church, we're not doing a very good job at making the most of every opportunity. The church is known for being more inward than outward. And so real quick, and then I'm done. Three little reflections. I'm actually ripping these off from a new book that's coming out by Richard Stearns, the writer, the author, the president, CEO of World Vision. He wrote a book called The Hole in Our Gospel. He has a brand new book coming out called Unfinished. Incredible book. Just so good. And he makes these 3 points. He actually has a 7-point checklist. I'm going to give you three. And let me read these. How can we become more effective? That's really, how can we become more influential? How can we live a high-impact life? How can we make the most of every opportunity? Three reflections. One, resist valuing belief over behavior. Resist valuing belief over behavior. And here's what he says. So many believers get stuck in believing all the right things about the Trinity, predestination, Israel, salvation, homosexuality, evolution, and we've become so passionate about being right that we've chased away the very people Jesus wants us to reach with his love. Belief does lead to and should lead to loving behavior. Are you with me? Second reflection, resist allowing apathy to replace outrage. What? Yeah, he's saying there's some things we should be outraged about. He says we get outraged over frivolous things. Some of you this morning are outraged that the Dodgers are in last place and the Giants are in first place. Come on. Some of you are outraged that gas went up 10 cents. Some of you are outraged that your kid got a C+ on their last report card. And yet, Stearns writes, 19,000 children die every day from preventable causes. And we shrug our shoulders. And I believe that when outsiders see us care about and do something about those kids that are suffering, that are hungry, that are dying from preventable causes and diseases, that will be a light that will attract and create opportunities for influence. And then a last point, reflection from Stearns. He says, resist turning inward instead of outward. The longer you're in the church, the more your life becomes a little bubble, a little holy bubble. When was the last time that you had a significant spiritual conversation with someone who was not a follower of Jesus? Again, not arguing, not debating. I've never argued somebody into believing. That's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about having a conversation about things that matter. And allowing your light and your warmth and your love to just enter into that. The Spirit of Jesus entering into that. And so resist becoming inward. And now it's just our little holy huddle. And he's saying that. That's when our light begins to dim. And so I'm going to stop. We're out of time. What's your takeaway? You know, in preaching, we say it's about the what, the so what, and the now what. So my question to you is, now what? Now what? What are you going to do with what you heard this morning? Some of you, it has to do with prayer. Some of you, it has to do with seeing your life as a brand new adventure, that each day you're called and I'm called to make the most of every opportunity. You just never know why God put that person in the cubicle across from you or the neighbor right next door to you. You just never know who you might see in the hospital when you went to visit this person, but then you ran into this person. But put on those new lenses and begin to see that God is at work around you, and he has placed you strategically and intentionally right where you are to touch and transform and to help be part of the healing that he wants to see happen, the restoration movement, that his kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. And he wants to use you, and he wants to use me, and he calls us to make the most of every opportunity. So let's pray. Take a moment to pour out your heart to God. What is your takeaway? What's the now what for you?